All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 12. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 12. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we do thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, we thank you also for knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we pray for the filling of the Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you, and that we might worship you in spirit and truth. And then also, Lord, that you might be highly exalted and glorified and our lives strengthened, Lord, by the faith that you've given to us. May we trust you in a greater way. May you reveal your grace in our lives that we might truly be the light and the salt of the world. Bless your word tonight, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "They were all amazed and glorified God." They were all amazed and glorified God. So I want to ask you a question. What was it that glorified God? What was it that glorified God? Was it not the wonder-working power of the Lord and the man that had the palsy? Yeah, we see that. And so tonight we want to consider four ingredients that were involved in God's blessings. The third one is not essential, but it was still used for the glory of God, so we'll include that one in here. But we'll see the preaching that was involved. That's one of the ingredients. The friends of the palsy, and then also the Lord's perception, and of course the scribe's misconception, but that was the ingredient that wasn't necessary, but God used it anyway, and then the Lord's power. So back up with me to verse 1 just for a moment here, and let's consider the Lord's preaching. And where the preaching of the Word of God, there is the presence of God, because the Word of God is the Lord, isn't it? And then the Spirit of God works with the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so that brings the presence of God there as well. So look at verse 1. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum, and after," says, "some days here, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." So here we find the preaching of the word, and we see the crowd that was there, that there was no room. I mean, the whole place was filled up, and you couldn't even get to the door. It was about the farthest inside you were going to get as the word of God was being preached. So here we find the presence of the Lord. And then we want to zero in here on the friends of the palsy. And listen, stop and just think about this for a moment. What would it have been like if the friends of the palsy and the palsy man wasn't involved in this story? You wouldn't really see what we see right now because of these four individuals and because of this man that needed the healing. And of course, by all means, ultimately, because the Lord was there, that this man and these individuals were able to bring them unto the Lord. And so likewise, we want to be reminded of this. You know, the presence of God is here tonight. And the power of God is here to heal and to save that which is lost. God is still in the soul-saving business. And he wants us to be those individuals that will go out and bring the lame, bring out those that can't help themselves, so that they might hear the word of God as well. And so we find these friends here, and they come into a predicament, really, that revealed their faith. And this is important. So what will it take to reveal our faith? Well, if everything is going perfect, there's no need to trust, is there? It's when things don't work the right way that we can express our faith in the Lord. When things become difficult, when things are not normal, when things are out of sorts, it's then that we have the opportunity to use our faith or our trust in the Lord. And so again, just back up to the bottom of verse 2 there, and it says, "There was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." So you have these four individuals bringing this man that has this palsy, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So here are these four individuals. Now, this is unusual, wouldn't you say? This is kind of an extreme situation. But listen, God was moving up upon them. I am convinced, listen, they expected something from the Lord. But listen, we can't just do things expecting. I'm convinced there has to be a relationship with the Lord. Listen, the Apostle Paul did things because God was moving him. David did things because God was moving him. Joseph did things because God was moving him. And so how was he moving him? Well, listen, the Spirit of God was there. And the Spirit of, and listen, he was being faithful to what God was giving him. And so he was moving upon that which he already knew to do. And so here it is, the Bible says he remembered when he saw his brothers, he remembered the dreams also. He got caught up in what he was doing. No doubt he didn't forget what was done to him. But remember, at the end, after Jacob passed away, after Israel died, the brothers came up to Joseph and they were afraid of him. They said, now we're going to get it. Now he's going to get even with us. And Joseph said, listen, you meant it for evil. Did they mean it for evil? Absolutely. They were going to see. Let's see what comes of his dreams now. I mean, he's not going to live long. They didn't expect him to live. They thought he was dead also. Listen, it never even dawned on him. You remember the Ishmaelites? They were headed to Egypt. And they knew that. And so they could have said, oh, no, listen, I don't want to go to Egypt. Joseph might be there. No, listen, in slavery, your lifespan is cut short. And so they had no inclination that Joseph would be waiting for them there. And Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God, you see the difference there? God meant it for good. And so likewise, listen, in our lives, we don't always understand everything, but does God work out all things together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose? And that's us. And so I will be the first one to tell you, I don't always understand everything that God does, but I do know this, God is faithful, God is merciful, and I'm convinced, even though I don't understand it here on this side of eternity, I know when I stand before him, I'm going to know even to a greater extent the wonderful grace that God has given to us on this side of eternity. And so here are these four friends. They're in this predicament. They're revealing their faith, see? Listen, what caused them to go and pick up this friend? Did they go with an expectation? Did they have it in their heart and in their mind that if they could get this individual to Jesus, God would bless him? They had it in their mind, didn't they? Otherwise, they would have just said, oh, listen, door's jam-packed. Sorry. That's not what they did. They said the objective is to get this man to the Lord. Who does that? God puts that in our hearts. God speaks to our hearts. But we have to have a relationship with him. We can't expect to neglect our prayer time. We can't expect to neglect our time in the Word of God and hear from him. Listen, that's how he speaks to us, is through his Word and the Spirit through the Word of God, directing our lives and giving us wisdom and giving us understanding, giving us hope, giving us grace, giving us the love of God, bearing the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. Listen, it's of no effect if we just come up to the Word of God and we hear what God is saying and we ignore it. If God says you ought to be kind to your enemies and we hear the Word of God and we're not kind to our enemies, is God going to give us any more guidance? We're ignoring we're neglecting what God has given to us. If God says, hey, listen, you know what? You shouldn't talk bad about other people. That's not kind. You ought to treat other people as you would want to be treated. Right. Raise your hand if you'd like other people to say nasty things, unkind things, mean things behind your back. Well, praise the Lord. I hope we don't do that. I hope that we're not in the business of talking negative about anybody, because that surely doesn't help anybody. If somebody's got a problem, it would be good for you to tell them their problems, and then we'll probably slow down a little bit, won't we? We'll say, well, maybe we don't need to tell them that. they may not like that. No, they won't like that. It's God's job, amen? Amen? It's God's job to straighten them out. So here's the whole thing. When you read the Word of God, what do you do with it? Do you say, Lord, you've called this to take place in my life. Listen, Lord, I don't know how to abide in you. You have to show me how to abide in you. So I'm going to meet with you in prayer. Early in the morning is a wonderful time. and say, God, I need to for you to show me how to abide in you. Watch what God will do. And then he'll open up the scriptures, and the Spirit of God will flow in your heart and in your mind, and you'll be in the presence of the Lord, and you'll say, oh, surely, surely the Lord is in this place, amen? Surely God is guiding, and we'll have the blessings of the Lord. Listen, the only reason why these people were amazed and glorified God was because God did something for them. And the only reason why we will be amazed and glorify the Lord is if God does something for us. If God is not doing anything for us, then know this for sure, we won't be amazed. Know this for sure, God won't be glorified. And we won't have anything to say. We'll just say, oh, you better get saved because we know if you leave this life, well, what is God doing for you? What is God doing for you so that the whole world might see? That's where it's really all, what it's really all about. That's an exciting relationship with the Lord. But if you're just coming to learn something Sunday morning, Wednesday night, believe me, listen, I appreciate you being here, but don't do it for nothing. Listen, God wants to bless your life and my life. So but here's the faith part, ready? God, this is what you said, do that in my life. Don't just sit there and say, well, I guess it's for Paul. I guess it's for the preacher. I guess it's for the Sunday school teacher. I guess it's for somebody and everybody but me. Well, you never get anything that way. All the promises were intended for who? Isn't that good? All of God's promises are intended for us. Take them to the Lord and say, Lord, give me your promises. Help me to understand how to walk in your promises. Because listen, I want the joy of the Lord. I want the peace that passes understanding. And God says, I want to give them to you. If you'll ask me, I'll give them to you. The Lord already knows what we need. But why does he wait for us to ask? Because that's called trusting God and asking him for it. Showing our faith before the Lord and saying, Lord, do that in me. And watch what God will do. Is our God that small that he can't do anything for us? That we just have to wait till eternity? I don't see that in the Word of God. And so God wants us to be excited. So here, listen, just as God moved in the heart of David to go after Goliath, God was moving in the heart of these four individuals to take that man of the palsy and get him to the Lord. That wasn't their own doing. That wasn't anything in those men. It was God in those men that were moving those men to take that man to the Lord Jesus. And to not be stopped until they accomplished the mission. Trusting who? Do you think those guys came up with that idea? God was involved, but here's the key, ready? They were willing to submit. They were willing to say, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, use me. Let me be a vessel for your honor and glory. Lord, you do with me as you want to. I give you a blank check. In French, they call that carte blanche, an empty check, a signed empty check. You write the amount you want in there. How much do you want? Half? One-fourth, how much do you want from God? Are you sure? How much do you want? I want it all. I want everything that God has promised. And by the way, listen, that is something that we have to approach the Lord on how often? Every day, all the time. Lord, I want your promises. Don't forget about them tomorrow. God, listen, Lord, you've promised them. I want that mountain. Amen. I want the promises. I want you to do your work in my life. All right, so watch this. So here they are. They couldn't come nigh unto him for the press in verse 4. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, did you use faith to believe that Jesus was your Savior? Was that your faith, or did God give you your faith? Isn't that amazing? And do you think if you draw nearer to the Lord, the Lord's going to give you less or more faith? He's going to give you more. That's what he wants to do. So you just have to take what you've been given. Here's what you've been given. If you're not noticing anything taking place in your life, you've been given the command to call unto the Lord. Lord, I'm calling on you for you to show me, and let him take it from there, and keep calling on him, and keep searching for him in the scriptures, and you will see what he will do. And so They broke up the tile. They let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And in verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, now things are going to get ready to move. And notice what's happening here. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Isn't that good? But let me ask you this question. What do you think the sick of the palsy thought about that? What do you think the friends thought about that? I think they thought, that's wonderful. I think they thought, oh, listen, because they knew the men that were the four men, they knew who Jesus was. And they knew that to have, what would you want if you could only get one thing from God? Would you want to be the wealthiest person? Would you want to be the healthiest person? Or would you want your sins forgiven for all eternity? See, that's the greatest gift. And so he said that, and I believe when the Lord said that, it was the same experience you and I had when we were born again. I believe he was saying, praise the Lord. And there's one thing for sure, the scribes did not like that. And so now we find the Lord's perception. Look at verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Do you know if they would have read the account about Abraham and the angels and God, the three that came to Abraham and getting ready to judge Sodom? Do you remember? Do you remember? I'm going to go ahead and destroy. I'm going to go see what's going on in Sodom. And then you remember the little bargaining deal that Abraham, Lord, what if you find 50? Now who was talking to Abraham? The Lord was talking to him. God was talking to him. And he said that he was going to go down and take a look at what was taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah. But wait, the third one, there was only two of them that went into Sodom and Gomorrah. You never see a third one in there. So pray tell, who was the other one that went into Sodom and Gomorrah to see what was going on? Because God said, I'm going to go take a look and see what's going on. So if God is saying, I'm going to go take a look, who went down there? The Lord. Amen? The Lord went down there. And he rained from heaven, brimstone, and condemned them. So you have God appearing to Abraham as a man. And so if these scribes would have known the Bible like they should know the Bible, they would know that this was not the first time that God came in the form of a man. And so they should have realized that, listen, Abraham had this conversation with God. This is not anything unusual to us in the Scriptures. And so the scribes there were saying, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And they're right in that, but they were wrong in thinking that he was just a man. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned with themselves, within themselves, that's good, isn't it? Within themselves. They're not saying this out loud. They're kind of maybe in kind of conversation, maybe low conversation, but just amongst themselves. And the Lord hears that, and he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say of the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk? So here's the Lord's perception, and the scribes' doubts or misconceptions. They misunderstood. From the book of Genesis, they did not pick up on who God was. They missed him. And so it's no reason that they missed him here. Let's not you and I miss who God is. And who he wants to be in our lives, personally. Because are we indwelt with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Did Jesus Christ say, I'm in the Father and you're in me? Did he say that? Right. So that means if the Holy Spirit indwells us, and we're in Christ, and Christ's in us, I dare say there's some dynamite power there. Amen. But it's not in us. I think it would be all important, especially in the day and age in which we live, that we might ask God to show himself. Lord, do your work in my life so that I can be amazed and worship. I can't do it. So I'm going to call upon you to do this in my life. These scribes would have none of it. But listen, so the Lord knew what he was going to do. But he has this process. He could have healed the man right off the bat. And that would have made him look really good. But he said, oh, no, everything's in order. Likewise, in your life, in my, he says, first faith and then the power. First display your trust in me and then I'll show you. That's how it works. He says, I know what you need. I've even prepared what you need. I've even provided what you need. I've even promised it to you. You have to use a little bit of faith to trust me to ask me for it. Just trust me and ask me for it. All right, so here's the Lord's power. Verse 10. But that ye may know, and by the way, God wants us to know also. Listen, not only the scribes, but the man that was sick with the palsy saw something. Wait a minute, not only the man that was sick with the palsy, but the four men that carried him. Do you think God was going to allow them to display their faith and not reward them? Do you think that you and I will display our faith or our trust in God and God not reward us? No. That's not our God. If we will show trust in the Lord and wait upon him in the morning in prayer. And listen, don't make it complicated. 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. Don't set a time. Just spend a little bit of time with the Lord and say, oh God, that you might move in my heart, in my mind. Lord, I am presenting myself for you to use me as you wish. Wow. You think that will honor the Lord? Do you think God will be pleased with that? That's a sacrifice. That's the whole thing. Amen? And by the way, God's worthy of the whole thing. So he says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy. I wonder if that sick of the palsy said, I'm glad those scribes were there. Because when the doubters were there, God didn't just forgive my sins and gave me a home in heaven. God made me whole. Amen. Hey, listen, you know, God didn't just forgive our sins and gave us a home in heaven. He makes us whole. Amen. How does he do that? He indwelt us with the Spirit. And it's with his life. And so notice this. I say unto thee, verse 11, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine own house. Do you think that man enjoyed doing that job? Like never before. Like never before. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Do you think he said, oh, listen, I don't think the scribes are going to like this one. Oh, I don't know that I ought to do that, Lord. Do you think that ever entered into his mind? You know what he said? He's the truth. You guys are wrong. And there ain't no doubt about it. You guys have a misconception of who is standing right in your very presence. So immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Before them all. They all got to see it. The doubters got to see it. The children of God got to see it. And the man sick of the palsy saw it the best, didn't he? Insomuch that they were all amazed. They all saw it. They were all amazed. Do you think those scribes were even a little amazed? Yeah, they were taken by it. Yeah, they were taken by it. Because, listen, and glorified God saying, we never saw it on this fashion. The scribes never saw that before. The four never saw that before. What do you think that did for the faith of the four? What do you think that did for the faith of the man sick with the palsy? What do you think that did for the faith of the disciples that were with the Lord and the others? They were all amazed. Do you know if we allow the Lord to work in our lives in a life-changing way, that he changes us? Now, we don't change ourselves. We bring our mess before the Lord and say, make something holy out of that because I can't. You do something with that. Do you know we'll be amazed? Do you know that everybody around our life will be amazed? Because the Spirit of the Lord will come out. He'll be released from from our flesh, because the flesh will be taken out of the way by the Lord, and he'll have free course to run out into our lives and touch the lives of other people with his love, his mercy, his joy. But we're the first recipients, and then our cup runneth over. So tonight, they were all amazed and glorified God. Do you know that that promise is for us too? That God might glorify himself through our lives, and we will be amazed, and we will worship our God. Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all of your promises. We thank you for your faithfulness, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, I just pray that you would create in us a heart, a right heart, renew a right spirit, a right heart within us, that we might seek you and put our trust in you, calling upon you to reveal yourself in and through our lives. I pray that you bless each and every one of us and those who are unable to be here as a church body. And Lord, that you would also bless the time of prayer. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.